are assigned against the word of God coming. Praise the Lord. This is Minister Sir Ryan Davis, Grace and Truth Kingdom Ministries. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. Thank you all for tuning in to listen. May God be with you. May he cover you. May he bless you. I'm going to enter in through prayer and deliver this word, and then I'm going to get out of your way. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for who you are, for the revelation of who you are, the constant, consistent revelation of who you are. You are revealing who you are, and you says, I am the I am. So, Lord, we thank you for being I am. You are everything that we need, oh God. Whatever we can fathom in our mind that we need or even desire, you are everything, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you that you saw our needs before we realized we had needs, and you made provision for them. The greatest need that I think that we had that you've taken care of is our need for fellowship with your spirit. And we lost that through sin, but you already made provision to bring us back and restore us unto hope through the love of God, by the obedience of your son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for his obedience, his willingness to die. And we ask right now, Lord God, that you would just gather us together unto you, Lord God, and that you would sit on us, rest on us, Lord God, and impart your wisdom in your life, your love. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I just ask that you would help us to walk in obedience. We bind the prince of the power of the air and all of the adversaries that are assigned against the word of God coming forth to bring the kingdom production in the earth. We bind every fowl of the air. We bind all the birds of the air, the spirits that come to capitalize on the seed of the word of God, that come to eat and devour the word. But Lord God, we thank you now that you will utter your speech through your clarity of wisdom, and your frequency is now being fine-tuned in our ears, are being fine-tuned to your voice. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for the anointing that makes preaching easy and doable. I thank you, Father, for the moisture of your spirit. Hallelujah. I thank you that you are causing the seed of the word to grow roots in our spirit, Lord God, and the roots are receiving the moisture from the well of life that doesn't run dry. And we will sprout and bring forth fruit. We will be fruitful in this season, Lord God. Not for anything of our own self, Lord God, but because of who you are and what you have commissioned in our lives. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, for the power is yours. The glory is yours. The kingdom is yours. We surrender our all to you, Lord God. We ask that you would help us. We ask that you would just restore hope where hope is needed. Hallelujah. I ask that you would just give clarity where clarity is needed. I bind the spirit of confusion right now, Father. Hallelujah. I curse the workings of that dark thing, Lord God, that comes to bring confusion to the mind. And I command settled peace in the mind right now, according to your word, Lord. Your word says, whose mind is stayed on thee, thou will keep him in perfect peace. So keep our minds on you, Lord God. You are a mind keeper. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. A few things I want to address really fast. We as the people of God really, really, really in this time have to understand covenant. Not how we call things covenant, how we connect here and there and call it covenant, but what God is wanting to reveal of his covenant. The covenant of God is God's agreement with God. Yes, God's agreement with God. And we are the beneficiaries or the recipients of grace. We're the beneficiaries of the covenant. It's like when someone has a life insurance policy, it could be between that person and the insurance company, but the beneficiary is going to be the recipient of the set amount. Okay, so if something were to take place and that person who has the policy dies, then the person who is the beneficiary receives the inheritance. Glory to God. Watch this. Jesus died. He died. He didn't stay dead, but he did die. There was a life insurance policy on. Called ransom, the ransom for all sin of all sinners. Hallelujah. In other words, the death says, I can hold you captive as my prisoner because there is a penalty to pay and somebody's got to pay it. But Jesus came and blew that out of the water. He paid over and above what death could even charge. And he paid for our ransom that we could be set free. But in our being set free, that brought us into an inheritance as the children of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, sometimes what happens is we miss things because we skip steps. So our foundation is not laid properly. And so we have to go and start over. But God is so gracious that he's a God of a do-over. Watch this. He'll give you a do-over. God is concerned about our foundation. So sometimes the teaching is principle, it's basic, it's elementary, but it's something in the elementary that God says you need. Watch this now. So Jesus and God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost made an agreement in heaven before we even knew anything about it. And the agreement was that Jesus was going to come to earth. The Word is going to come to earth as a man in a flesh body and die for the sins of the people to deliver and set free the captive prisoners. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Watch this. But the ransom price is priceless. The price of his blood is priceless. You can't put a tag on that. It's too expensive. It's too much. But yet he dies for sinners. Sinners, which was all of us at some point, in some kind of way, some shape, form, or fashion. You was a sinner. I was a sinner. You might have grown up in the church. I didn't. I was in the streets. Okay. My mother made us go to church for a little while, but I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't grow up a pew baby. Okay. But you know, you can have people who grew up in the church and they were forced to go to church. They were forced to go to Bible study. They were forced to do good. So often they don't understand the ransom for sinners because they didn't live a sinful life. They still was at some level a sinner because of the sin nature. We all was born with a sin nature. Okay, but some of us actually were sinners. We lived sinful lives. We did a lot of evil. Needless to say, from the least to the greatest, the blood of Jesus has covered it. I'm going somewhere with this. If you need a title today, we're talking about the love of God. Simple. The love of God. Just a simple message. Okay, God's love is what made him decide to do this. Do you not understand that forgiveness is premeditated? Forgiveness is premeditated. That means God meditated on it before you did it and had it in his mind to forgive you. Do you not know that God knew Adam was going to eat from the tree that he commanded him to leave alone? God knew that Adam was going to sin and bring the world into condemnation of sin. But God had already made up and resolved in his own mind to redeem mankind through mankind. How can I say that? Because he became a man. Now, he didn't do it through mankind, through the seed of Adam. Mm-mm. He had to bring forth a new seed. The Word is a seed. Watch this. So Jesus, the Son of God, comes. That's why the Bible calls him the seed of the woman in Genesis 3 and 15. The first prophecy in the Bible, he says the seed of the woman. Why? Because it didn't come from the man. It didn't come from the woman either. It came from heaven. The Lord of glory, he wraps himself up in flesh. He's formed in the womb of a virgin. So it didn't come from her, but she incubates the baby in her body. And then, you know, she has the baby. She labors and births him out. And he comes out pure and holy, righteous seed, the Son of the living God. And here he is bringing us life. He comes and he works miracles. He shines. He casts out devils, and he's shining the glory of God here on earth. He's full of grace and truth. Now, with that being said, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We need to understand covenant. The covenant of God that we are a partaker of is called grace and truth. Now, I name the ministry that God gave me Grace and Truth Kingdom Ministries after the covenant. So when I die, if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come back before I die, when I die and go to be with him, the covenant will still be Grace and Truth. If Grace and Truth Ministries, Kingdom Ministries does not go beyond me, which it should, but if it doesn't, if it fades out at some point, the covenant of grace and truth is still the thing that God wants us to understand. Let me explain this. It's twofold. Grace is the demonstration of love and mercy. Truth is God's eternal attribute. God cannot lie. The Bible says there are two immutable things that it is impossible for God to lie. It doesn't list the second one in that verse of scripture where it says there are two immutable things. It doesn't tell you what the second one is. You've got to study to find out what that is. I know, but that's a whole nother message. But the one immutable thing it actually lists by name, it says it's impossible for God to lie. So truth is an eternal attribute. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. It's not possible. So the question in your mind, can he lie or did he lie? He can't lie. Now, he can speak something and then override it. But what happens is we get stuck in what God had already said and not what God is saying. So that's why we think God lied. God doesn't lie. If God tells you to go to the left and then he says go to the right, well, left was right when he said it, but now right is right because he's saying it. So God isn't lying. He's just giving us further instructions to get us where he wants us to go. The destination is him, okay? The destination is him. It's nothing else. Nothing. Listen, the promise maker is greater than the promises, and the promise maker can make you a new promise. Now watch this, covenant. God gave Israel a covenant through a man named Moses. God's always going to use man to bring about his covenants, even became a man to bring about this new covenant. Now, go with me to the scriptures. John chapter 1, verse number 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses. The law that was given to Israel, the law. Now, last week or the week before, I spoke about the laws of God. God has laws, okay? The laws of God, when I speak of that, I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm not talking about you keeping the Sabbath or you can't eat catfish or the laws, you can't wear wool and you can't eat swine and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. And you got to give a certain amount of money on. No, I'm not talking about those things. When I say the laws of God, I'm saying you're now hearing his voice and he's instructing you what to do. That's the laws of God. It's called the law of the spirit. Okay, watch this. And he says, in the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you will hear his voice. So that's a place we got to come to. Watch this, though. But here he's talking about the law of Moses or the old covenant. The old covenant was based on the law, which was a shadow of the new covenant. Now, God changes not. He's the same God. He ain't changed. But he does do new things. For he says in Isaiah, for behold, I do a new thing. Then he talks about a virgin that shall conceive. He says a tender plant out of dry ground. And he begins to talk about Emmanuel. Okay, he begins to talk about the Messiah. Watch this, his servant. Now, Moses brings the law, right? He says in John 1 and 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So here he is showing you two covenants in comparison. The comparison is the law versus grace and truth. Now, the reason it's not just grace is this, because some things in the law that were concealed are now revealed through the law by the Holy Ghost. And so where a lot of people get in trouble is we want to have grace without truth. And God is a balanced God. So he gives us a covenant that is balanced. So the grace of God is the love of God, the mercies of God demonstrated towards humanity, which the law could not fully bring. God was still merciful and gracious under the law, and it still required faith under the law. Watch this, Matthew 23 and 23. I'm going to show you this, and then I'm going to get into the love part, the goody-goody part. Matthew 23, verse 23. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy," there's mercy, "and faith. These ought ye have to done and not to leave the other undone." So in other words, he's saying, you people brag about how much you tithe. You focus on getting the smallest little grain, getting the right amount of tithe of these, you know, different spices. And he said, you ought to do that. But he says, you left the other undone. You was focused so much on giving and how well you tithe and how much you fast. You know, Jesus had to tell them, don't blow a trumpet when you fast and when you pray and when you give. He's like, don't disfigure your face when you fast, so everybody know you're fasting. Don't blow a trumpet when you pray and let everybody know you're praying for somebody. Don't blow a trumpet or, you know, call attention to yourself when you give alms. So these people were very religious. But Jesus is cutting them down and saying, you're hypocrites. You're hypocrites because you missed out on the weightier matters. In other words, these things are more important. They weigh more in the spirit to God than the things we put a lot of emphasis on in the house of God. He's saying this matters more: judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, watch this. Those were present under the law. Understand, Jesus was born under the law, but yet he fulfills the law. He does not enforce the law in the sense of a legalist. This is why they brought the woman in adultery to him, and he says, I don't even condemn you. He says, where are your accusers? She says, I have none. They're gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Well, the law condemned her. She was condemned by the law, and they knew this. That's why they brought her to Jesus. But here's the thing. You catch her in the act of adultery. Where's the man? Who did you catch her with? By herself? Which one of y'all was with her? And so Jesus, you know, he writes in the sand after they bring the woman to him. And we don't know what he wrote, but I have a feeling that every one of these men done laid with this woman at some point or another. That's why they knew where to catch her at in the act. So she was an adulterous woman, okay? And the Bible gives a description of that type of woman. She's out in the streets looking. Her feet don't stay in her house. She's looking for somebody to lay with. Now, I happen to believe she was slept with every one of them at some point, and Jesus knew and wrote down the dates and times that they did it in the sand. That's what I believe. But that's just, you know, that's speculation. Nevertheless, he writes in the sand, and they disappear. And then he says to the woman, where are your accusers? She says, I don't have none. He says, I don't condemn you either. Now, he's the Lord, okay? But the law says under adultery, she's supposed to die. They were supposed to put her to death. She's called in the very act by the priests. These people were preachers. They were ministers. But yet, Jesus says, I don't condemn you. He did not condone her sin, but he did not condemn her. God said something to me once. He says, I justify sinners. I don't justify sin. So we ought to rejoice because that's the love of God, that he justifies us. He justifies us. He stands on our behalf to give us a plea bargain, not a not guilty plea. See, you say not guilty, then you got to prove that. You got to take that to the grand jury, and you got to stand before the Almighty. You got to stand before the Supreme. And now that blood that speaks for you is going to speak against you. But if you say, I plead the blood, all right, watch this, watch this. Now, grace and truth. So the truth is something that a lot of people don't want to hear nowadays, because the truth is what sets you free. See, there's a difference between good and evil and grace and truth. When you're dealing with good and evil, it's just knowledge about what's good and what's evil. When you deal with grace and truth, grace is all of God's goodness, like a big snowball overtaking you. Okay? The truth of God is the things that we don't want. That's the part we don't like. Because we, you know, as the saying goes, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. But grace causes us to handle the truth. The Bible says that we should grow in the knowledge of our Lord. And, excuse me, in grace. It says in 2 Peter 3 and 18, it says, but grow in grace, comma, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the first thing you grow in is grace, then in the knowledge of God. So that means as Lord, he's going to tell you some stuff. He's Lord. So he has the power to override the condemnation that the law wants to put you under. The law says you sin, you die, basically. That's it in a nutshell. Don't make no difference which sin it is. From the least to the greatest. You break one, you break them all. That's what the law says. And the law is looking to take you as a prisoner. But Jesus comes, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, set at liberty them that are captives, to free the prisoners, to open the blinded eyes and the recovery of sight and all those different things. But the thing is, he says he's to set at liberty them that are bruised and to open up the prison gates. He's setting the prisoners free. That's what grace does for you. So grace is amazing. Hence the words to the song Amazing Grace. Grace is so amazing. It is. But it doesn't come alone. And this is where a lot of people miss the mark at as believers. We miss the mark because we don't embrace the truth. And the only thing he says you will know that will make you free is the truth. Okay? So grace give us the access to this freedom, but the truth gonna make you free. You know the truth and it'll make you free. So that's the covenant that God really wants us to understand. His covenant is grace and truth. Now, let's deal with the grace, because we gotta grow in grace. Let's deal with that today. Let's deal with the love factor of grace. What is love really? There's so many different ways people try to define love. I'm not gonna complicate it. I'm gonna say it like this. Love is so good, first of all, but love is God's investment. If I could define it anyway, I would say love is God's investment plan. We know there's various types of love, okay? There's the fleshly love where it's erotic, sensual, sexual, passionate. Then there is the brotherly love where it's kind. It seeks the best interests of others. Then there is a love that's just a friendship type of love. Okay, we love people. Then there's even where the Bible says the world loves their own. How do they get love when they're not even connected to God? Because we was all made in the image and likeness of God. So somewhere in us we have the ability to love, but it's not pure love. It's not a perfect love. Okay, the Bible speaks of perfect love, casting out all fear. So there's different levels of love, but then there's a perfect love, which means fully grown, mature love and love that God is really expecting out of us. So in order for us to have it, he's got to make an investment. In order for us to have the perfect love, perfect means mature, full grown, okay? It's like fruit. Fruit has a stage where it's full and it's grown, but it ain't matured. It has to stay on the vine a little bit longer so that it can be ripe, ripen the fruit. So God's love has to grow like fruit. In fact, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, comma, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, all those different things, long suffering. Okay. But it starts out with love. It starts out with love. Watch this. So really, meekness, kindness, and long suffering, and temperance, and all those different things are really attributes of love. Okay, they're really different attributes or avenues of love, the spirit of love. And none of it's possible without the Holy Ghost. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, capital S on Spirit, meaning the Holy Ghost. You cannot produce that love without Him. Now, I said earlier where Jesus says, if you are of the world will love you because the world loves its own. But because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you even as it hated me. So there's a love that Jesus speaks of that the world has one to another. That means they care about one another to a certain extent. They have a loyalty to one another. You know, people in the world kill each other and stuff like that, but they are of the same spirit. They are of the spirit of the world. So he's saying that there's a characteristic or a type of love, but it's not what he's looking for. That's not the type of love we're commanded to bring forth. Now, in order for us to please God, it takes faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Okay? It's impossible. Impossible to please him without faith. So, our faith is made stronger through love. And I'll get to that later on in this message if the Holy Spirit provides me with the remembrance, if he allows me to remember. Okay, so God's love is an investment. An investment. It's a seed. Watch this. Romans chapter 5, glory to God, verse number 8. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, you know there's a song, just for me. We talk about how Jesus did it just for me, but here he says for us. He looked at all of us and said they are pitiful. They are in a bad state, and he had pity on us. Glory be to God. We thank him for his mercy, his grace, his love, his kindness. Watch this. He says, but God commendeth, hey, glory, I feel the Holy Ghost, his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not when we were seeking God and reaching after God, asking him to get us out of sin. Nope. He said, while you were sinners, actively practicing sin on a daily basis. God was looking at you and saying, I got something better for you. How can I get it to you? So he begins to draw you by his spirit. He begins to surround you with believers. He begins to send somebody your way to drop a seed in your spirit to tell you God loves you, to tell you you can come out of that mess, to tell you you better than that, to tell you I got hope for you, I got plans for you, to tell you you don't belong in this nightclub, you don't belong in this whole house, you don't belong in this gang affiliation, you don't belong in this trap house. You don't belong in this prison house. You don't belong in wherever you was at that you thought you belonged at, that was keeping you from the destiny that God had for you. He says, I'm trying to show you my love now. So he begins to work on you. Somebody walk up to you and hand you a free Bible. Somebody walk up to you and give you a hug and tell you that your life is worth living. They tell you God got a plan for you, baby. A prophet come to you and you ain't never seen them a day in your life, and they read you like a book. And then they walk on about their way and never say nothing else to you. But you know it was God talking to you. That kind of stuff. So God has a way to show you just who he is. Glory be to God. Watch this. His love. His love towards us. It says, while we were sinners, while we were in it, not when you came out, not even when you desired to come out. Okay, when you had that blunt in your mouth, puffing and smoking on that kush, when you was drinking that hunch punch, what we called it back in the days. I don't know. I ain't out there no more, so I don't know what they call stuff. When you was laid up with somebody you wasn't intending to marry, wasn't supposed to marry, laid up with somebody else's marriage material. When you was chopping it up and trying to get it rock hard or powder and trying to get your kilos moving. When you was doing that, when you was, okay, some of us was the church house sinners. When you was the whisperer, the one that was running the pastor down behind his back and conniving and backstabbing in the church and yet praising God and shouting and knocking people over in the pews, dancing, hallelujah, thank you. He said, God still loved you. Sinners, while you was a sinner, whatever type of sinner you was, God still loved you. But watch this. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. This is spirit-led. Watch this. Spirit of God is a great teacher. So I had the ideal that God's love is an investment, but I didn't have no scripture on it. So he led me to Romans 5:5-8 about God commending his love. Then he had me to look up that word commend. Commend means praise, formally or officially. So let's see if that makes sense in the context of that verse. But God praised his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That doesn't quite make sense, right? I mean, it could, because God is God. And he can do whatever he wants. But then there's a second definition for that word, commend. It means to entrust someone or something to. So an example of that is, I commend them to your care. Other words, to entrust, to trust, to deliver, to commit, to hand over, to give, turn over, co-sign. I like that word, co-sign, or assign. I commend them to your care. So let's use the word entrust or commit and see if that sounds right with Romans 5:8. But God entrusted his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's try committed. But God committed his love to us, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What this is saying here is God made an investment. He was looking at you as a sinner saying, I'm going to love on you as though you a saint. I'm going to treat you as though you ain't did nothing wrong, because I can see you as a saint. I can see you at the other end of destiny. See, we see people where they are in their journey, but God looks at where you're supposed to be at. Watch this. Romans 1:7, Paul writes, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. God loves you, beloved of God. He says, to all them that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you. See, he knows how to start his letter out. Now, if you keep reading Romans chapter 1, he's going to do some rebuking about the sin. So although he starts out with the grace message and letting them know how loved they are, he's letting them also know you called to be something different. Watch this. He says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and peace. He's saying, look, I come in peace. God's apostle comes in peace. This is the way we preach the gospel. We come in peace. Now, that's if you go into a people that don't know. Sometimes God send you to his people, and he say they are stiff-necked, rebellious people. That means you rebel. And in order to rebel, you had to hear instruction from God already. And then that's when you get into Romans verse number 19 and one chapter one, verse number 19 through, 26 somewhere in there. He says, when they knew God, they would not hear God, or they would not acknowledge God or do what he said. So, but here dealing with sinners, he comes in peace. He says, grace and peace. That's the wisdom of God. Grace and peace. God's coming to peace, in peace towards you. He's not coming to destroy you, because he already knows that what you in, if you in sin, that's destruction enough. He's throwing you a lifeline, grace and peace. But there's still truth we got to come up to. But first, grab hold to the lifeline. Watch this, the love of God. So he says you're called to be saints. So God looked at you when you was in sin and saw a saint. He saw a finished product of somebody on the other side of the tracks. Now, I'm not talking about when you was on that bad side. He see you on the good side. He see you working in ministry. He see you starting your own business, raising a family. He see you loving your enemies, letting go of that vengeance. He sees you with those habits broken off of your life. He sees you getting over the bitterness of rape and molestation. He sees you no longer a homosexual, lusting after other men. He sees you as a pure vessel, holy, acceptable. He sees you not as a pimp in the pulpit, but a preacher that sold out to Jesus. He sees you not as a liar and a thief, or as a political liar. He sees you as an activist for the kingdom of God. That's what he sees. We're called to be saints. We're called to be saints. Now we've got to answer the call. Watch this. Watch this. The love of God. God loves us so much that he didn't wait for us to get right. It was premeditated. I'm going to forgive them. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. The Bible says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. So you're going to get both when you're dealing with Jesus. He's full of grace and truth. Doesn't say he's full of anything else. So those are eternal attributes of his person. He can't lie to you. He's not going to lie. It's impossible. He's full of truth. It's impossible for him to lie. Okay? But he's so full of grace that he can give you a way out. He can forgive you when you know you ought to be condemned. Okay? Watch this. Glory to God. Glory to God. He can give you an exodus because he's God. Listen, God, his love is an investment. When you make an investment, a seed, you plant a seed, you desire something to grow. It's called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says, I'm going to read that real quick. I'm going to read it. That's what I'm going to do. Galatians 5 and 22. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So we say ain't nobody good. We all just sinners, brother, saved by grace. We are ex-sinners. The Bible says we're called to be saints. So we were sinners. Okay? That's why he says God loved us while we were yet in sin. Okay, he loved us while we were sinners, but he didn't say you're supposed to stay that. He tells us we're called to be saints. Watch this. But goodness. We say, we use that scripture from the Old Testament. There's none good except God, brother. We're all just sinners saved by grace. See, that's that grace only people. They don't understand covenant. So your foundation is messed up. So God will bring you to this kind of line to hear this kind of teaching to get the right foundational teaching. It's grace and truth, brother. So listen, he says, it's grace and it's truth. So the truth is this. Although there is none good, we are to die to ourselves and come alive to Christ. Now, Christ is the spirit of the anointing of God, the anointed spirit of God. So if he's in us now, and it's no longer I, but the Christ that dwells in me that liveth, if he's living in me vicariously, how's he producing anything other than goodness? Unless I'm walking after the flesh. Now, if you're not saved, that doesn't apply to you yet. The first principle is to believe on the Son of God with all your heart, to receive him and believe him with all of your heart. Glory to God. In your believing in him, confessing him, loving him, then that brings you into an understanding because then you qualify for the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit comes to you, he's going to make you understand the language of the Spirit, the language of the Word even more so that you'll know what's required of you, old man. You won't assume that you're supposed to stay a sinner. That's one of the biggest lies of the devil. And you got these preachers preaching it and sending folks to hell because they're not telling them the truth. Love is never absent of truth. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, where it says love is patient, love is kind, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things it says about love is it always rejoices in the truth. We get upset over the truth because we feel like if you tell me the truth, you're condemning me. No, baby, we're trying to stop you from jumping in that pool of condemnation. So God's not into condemning folks by giving warnings. Okay, the warning is a sign of love. If I see an 18-wheeler bearing down the street about to plow you over and you standing in the middle of the street and I'm yelling at you and pulling on you to get out the way, that's love because I don't want you to be smashed into a grease spot on the street in front of me. Now, if you just want to keep running out there, I'm not going to die with you. Watch this. Love, the love of God. So he says, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So the Holy Spirit produces goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now watch this. Let me read something else. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times, that means dangerous times. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All this stuff is going on in the world today. So this Bible is true. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Watch this. Despisers of those that are good. So that means there are good people. So all this preachers talking about there's nobody good. We're all just sinners. Nobody can live above sin, brother. We're just sinners. They're sending people to hell because they got you stuck in the we're sinners mentality. We all were sinners, but God commended his love. So he's then made an investment of love to you while you was in your mess. Okay. And he's now saying, I expect you to pay me back in love. Listen, when you plant a seed, you expect something to grow. It's amazing. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. How does fruit grow? It has to be a seed planted, right? And then the seed produces after its kind. You know, a human being is not going to have sex with a human being and then conceive and then birth out a dog. I know some people say, well, they look like a dog. Well, listen, two human beings are going to produce another human being. Two cats are going to produce another cat. Two monkeys going to produce monkeys. Zebras, zebras. Giraffes, giraffes. Donkeys, donkeys. You get the point that I'm saying here. Seeds reproduce after their kind. Apple seed is going to produce apples. Orange seeds, oranges. Grape seeds, grapes. So on and so forth. Now, so what God gives us his word and his love because he wants us to reproduce after that kind. This is why he says the whole law is summed up in two things. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, which brings me to the next place. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Okay. And then the very next part, he says, let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So now God is saying, I done loved you so much. I done looked past your mess. Now you got to love them like yourself. Now, you can't even love yourself until you have embraced God's love for you. You got to have a seed in order to produce fruit. Okay? But people trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit without a prayer life, it's impossible. You trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit without word life, it's impossible. It, without the seed, there ain't no reproduction. Watch this. So, watch this now. Jesus gives us the law summed up in two commandments. Now, those that want to go back up under the law, go ahead. But I tell you, you got to live every bit of it, and you're not gonna fare very well doing that, especially when Jesus has made this thing doable by saying, just let the seed grow and reproduce, and then show me the fruit. Show me you are a fruitful tree that's reproducing season after season. And okay, so I would advise you strongly not to go up under the law, especially after the Lord has had me to expound on the difference between the old covenant and the new. I would strongly advise you not to go back up under the law, but some people in this time are doing such, and some people you can't tell them, they won't listen, but you'll figure it out in time, hopefully. All right, now, the Word of God says in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, by this we know that we love, I need you to listen real good, I'm going to read it again. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So we got a lot of folk trying to love one another, trying to say the love in the body of Christ. He said, this is how you're going to know, when you love God. So the first commandment is first for a reason. We're trying to love folks horizontally, and we haven't loved God vertically. See, that's the cross. It points from heaven to earth first, and then from east to west. Okay, so we can't love our neighbor like we should until we love God like he said we're supposed to, because he's the one looking for the return on the investment. And when we love on him, we spend time with him in the word and prayer and worship and really loving on God and making him our everything, recognizing what he paid for us to have, and recognizing how much it cost him for us to get this inheritance or to be a recipient of grace. When we realize just how much he suffered for us, and we begin to love on him, then he says, now I'll give some rainwater and some sunlight so that the seed will germinate and grow and produce fruit. Watch this. Speaking of light. When the Bible speaks of light and darkness, the very first things God said in the beginning was, let there be light. Okay? And we know that he had to turn around and separate the light from the dark. So some things didn't let there be, but some did. The light came forth. He saw it and saw that it was good. Okay? Those of us that are operating in the love of God, he says, I'm looking at it and it's good. It's good. Okay? But for those that don't, I'm trying to find a specific verse. It says that he that loveth not his brother is in darkness. 1 John chapter 3, somewhere in there. Here we go. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest. So now we just said we know we love the children of God because we love God. So that means we can't just walk around still being sinners, brother. No, we've got to understand we're called to be saints. Okay? All right. Now, he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So what you do matters. Okay? But it's not judged by the law. It's judged by the Spirit. Okay? And the Spirit reveals the truth that's already written in the law on how it applies to your life today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So this is a spirit ministry, not a letter ministry. Because you can get caught up in the do's and don'ts and still miss God. Like the Pharisees, they knew the do's and don'ts, and they was doing the don'ts and pointing at everybody else. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to love. He says, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning. Let me go back. He says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So you can do all the right stuff. I don't fornicate no more. Good. I don't smoke and drink no more. Good. I quit doing them habits. Good. I don't lie and cheat no more. Good. But you don't love either. not good. So he says, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we have to not only do what's right, but we have to do what's right from a place of love. So he's looking at two things here, our righteousness, doing the right things, and love. He said, but this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. From the beginning. So he's going all the way back to the beginning. When God said, let there be light. Watch this. God was really talking to us. Watch this. On how we respond to the gospel. How we live our life. We're either going to be light or darkness. Good or evil. Watch this. He says, but this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Just in case you thought I was tripping when I said the beginning and went all the way back to Genesis. He wasn't talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth when he said the beginning, although that's what he walked in. He walked with Jesus. John did. But he goes all the way back to Cain because he's looking at the very first man born, and he didn't get it right. He killed his brother, right? He says, who loved that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, so our works matter. And his brother's righteous. So God looks at what we do, and he knows the difference between good works and evil works. And so if we've done evil, we have to repent. And God is willing to forgive. Watch this. He says, marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Why does he keep saying his brother? Well, the Bible says that Cain talked with his brother Abel and rose up and killed his brother Abel. So that the murder and the lack of love started with brothers. Technically, we was all born of one flesh anyway. Adam and Eve are the mother and father of us all in the flesh. And then we got to be born again in Christ. So if you call yourself a Christian, we was all born unto Christ. So we are brothers. Okay? Even if you are not born again in the world, we was all brothers. We had the same DNA all the way back to Adam, every human being. Watch this. It says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That means you live there. You stay there. You ain't getting out until you learn how to love. He says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You got the same spirit as Cain is what he sent. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So we can claim we're going to heaven all day long, but if we're a murderer, we're not. Because it's the life that's not in us. But we pass from death to life by loving our brethren. That particular verse I was looking for earlier is 1 John 2:9. It says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So when we don't love, we're not paying God back on his investment. He's saying you're not light, but God has given us light through his word today out of love because he loves us and he wants us to he doesn't want us in the dark. He understands that darkness and death are one and the same, but we pass from death to life through love. Now, what we've got to do is reassess love and understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have life everlasting, okay, by just believing in him. To believe in him really means to trust him with all of your being, to love God. And so when we receive God in such manner, then God begins to really embrace us, and we embrace him back, and he puts more of his love in us. Hallelujah. So if a person has an issue where we're not loving the brethren, then we have to understand that somewhere either there's a problem with our foundational understanding of God, or there's a problem where we just don't really believe. Because you cannot truly believe in the love of God and the seed not be in you. And the seed can't be in you if you're good ground and not bear fruit. It has to bear fruit. It has to. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. Hallelujah. So let me read this one last verse here. 1 John 4:7-11, there's something I really want to get at verse number 10. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." So I went through all this expose about us loving. We're supposed to love, but the focus today is God's love, okay? He says, "For love is of God." It's of God for us to do this. It's of God. So God really is wanting us to be the vessels that he shows his love through. See, listen, a branch bears fruit, but it's connected to the vine, the tree trunk. So really, when we branch out and love others, we are really showing them what Christ is, because the branch alone cannot bear any fruit. He says, "Without me, you cannot do anything. But I am the vine, you are the branches." He's really talking about love. He's not just talking about doing what's right. If you love God, you ain't going to run around here fornicating and committing adultery. You might slip, and God can restore us if we slip into a sin. But we're not just going to run around here willfully sinning every day if we really love God. And certainly, if we love God, we're not going to run around here hurting one another, not intentionally, because the love of God is in us, it being expressed out of us to other people. So he's saying it's of God. So we are like pipelines that God is looking to show somebody his love through. See, God, we can tell him God loves them all day long, but they ain't seen God. They see you and you God's representative. So if we bear the image of God, the image of God, the likeness of God, then we better love right, not just do kindness. So you can do kindness and not have love because it's not from the heart. It's a show. But when it's not a show and it's real from the heart, then people can't, the people are affected by it. They can't reject it. Not forever. You know, they might put up a wall, but after a while, the wall is coming down because the heart is going to be pricked by love. Love, when it's real, it's God. It's not you. It's God flowing through you. Watch this. Glory be to God. He says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God." If your love life isn't right, then you need to go and be born again, or for the first time, if you... It says, "And knoweth God." So we know God when we love. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. God is love. God is love. So what we're really becoming is not containers, but conduits. See, a container is like a branch detached from a tree. You can't grow anything on a branch sitting it on the ground, not connected to the tree. A container, once it's poured out, there ain't nothing else in it. So we got a lot of fruit baskets, but we don't have branches that are continuously bringing forth fruit. See, the branch brings forth fruit. You pull that fruit off, it's going to grow more because it's connected to the source. That, in other words, we are not containers with conduits, like a pipeline. When you have a conduit, there's something constantly flowing from another source because it's attached to the source. But a container, you can fill it up and you can pour it out, but it's got to come and be refilled. And this is why we need to be refilled over and over and revived over and over. Well, anything that needs to be revived is dead. We keep needing to be revived because we keep dying because we're not staying connected because we're not loving God first. Because we don't understand his love toward us. But when we do, watch this, we're going to be better and we're going to be successful in our Christian journey. And he doesn't have to keep engrafting us back over and over again, but we stay connected. This is why he said, "Abide in me and my words abide in you. Then you ask whatever you want and I'll do it." God can't deny you when you're full of his love. It's hard for you to ask for something and God turn you away when he knows that you're going to do right by it. When he knows your heart is filled with love, listen, God, it's like saying no to himself because God is love. So you're now a pipeline that he's flowing through. Okay, let me get out of that. Let me end this. He says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him." So our life is through him. He's the source of life. Herein is love. This is the verse I really wanted to get to. This is what love is really about. Not that we loved God, past tense on loved, Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins, for our sins. Excuse me. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So love is the fact that God did it first. Meaning this, if he loved us, we ought to love one another, because now God is looking for a ROI. And for those in the business world, y'all know what that means. If you're not business oriented, ROI means return on investment. He has invested something precious into each and every one of us, even while we were sinners. And he wants us to share it with other people. He wants us to share it. And sometimes love is in helping you pay your bills. Sometimes love is in counseling you, praying for you. Sometimes love is in just being kind and encouraging you. Sometimes love is in letting you win, because, you know, we don't have to win every argument. Sometimes love is in being peaceful. Sometimes love is in just praying for an individual and they don't even know you're praying for them. Sometimes love is in feeding the homeless, or, you know, helping your neighbor, whatever it is, giving them the word, warning them, restoring them when they have fallen, or keeping them from falling in the first place. Not that we're God. God is the one that keeps you from falling, but he gives us his word through one another. As we speak the word, then the word is keeping us from falling. So love can be demonstrated in many ways, but ultimately it all points back to God, because he's so good and gracious. He's so good. It's his love. He doesn't want us in sin. He doesn't want us in the thing that's destroying us, the thing that has, that can take us to hell and separate us from God. He doesn't want us in sin. So he loves us enough that he died and gave his son that we would be saved from our sins. That's the love of God. So really what he's saying to us about loving is, don't stop them from seeing my love. Don't block them from receiving my love. Don't be a hindrance to other people. You got to be a pipeline that I can flow through now. Let them know how much I love them. Show them. Do it. The Bible says that we should not love in word only. We should not love in word or in tongue. So we have to love indeed. Father God, thank you for how graciously you loved us. And you love us, and you're continuing to love us, and will always forever love us. You said in your word, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Father, I ask you, start with me, where I have failed at loving, where I have disconnected myself from the vine, where I have got to trying to produce it in and of my own strength. Forgive me. Anywhere you see that, Lord, I pray you would strengthen the foundation of my faith. And bring me back to the love of God. Wherever you see that I am off, wherever you see in my future where there may be a moment where I step off track, I pray you would catch me quickly and direct me back to the love of God. And Father, I pray that you would make me a vessel that would be able to show others how much you care for them, a good expression of your love, not a flawed expression. But Father, I pray that today you perfect your love in me, perfect your love in us, that we will be able to say perfect love cast out all fear. Majority of the things that we see happening, the envy and the jealousy and insecurities and the fights in the body of Christ, a lot of that is fear-based, but a perfect love can overcome that. So Father, I thank you for the love that is filling our hearts even now. Your word said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So, Father, I thank you for your love. Shed more of your love for us, a love towards us in our hearts through your Holy Spirit, God. Check us when we're wrong, when we're getting ready to get in our flesh and say the wrong thing or treat somebody a certain way because we're self-centered and we're looking at self. Lord, check us, God, by your Spirit, and let our hearts melt by the fire of your love. Glory unto God. And Lord, we know miracles take place with ease when your love is present. When we really get into the love of God as the people of God, we don't have no problem praying for one another. And Lord God, as we get to that place, as you bring us, and as we die to self and live to Christ, Father, miracles and revival break out with ease. We don't have to cry, Lord, we want your glory. Your glory will be revealed And we'll have to ask you to strengthen us to be able to stand under the weight of the glory, because now the love of God is producing more of the fruit that you look for. And there's no way that the Spirit is producing fruit and His presence is not tangibly seen. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. I ask you right now, Lord God, to give praise reports by the end of this week for those that have needs, Lord God, that you will work miracles and meet needs. Father, I pray on today, hallelujah, Lord God, that you would just open our understanding more to your word. God, I thank you for the ministries that are in our spirits that you have given to your people and those that we must touch and reach, Lord God, that we would do it effectively. And not unto self, Lord God, but as unto you, Lord God. It is not for our glory, but for yours. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that more love would just flourish in us. I pray, Lord God, for the fire of God to be on our altars again, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for intercessors to continue to pray, Lord God, and to find more fervent prayer, more hot, fiery prayer because of the love of God. And we care for souls because of the love of God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would tear down our idols. Help us tear them down. Show us what we've put before you. Work on our hearts so that we'll love you with everything we have daily, all day, every day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. And Lord, I ask once again, protect each and every one under the sound of my voice. And the children that are connected to those that are hearing, Father, I pray a divine hedge of protection and a blood wall covering to keep them away this week, Lord God, and not allow the enemy to snuff out a single life, Lord God, not let one be lost. And if the enemy gets in, Lord God, alert us in intercession and prayer, and that we will respond through love, praying and laboring for those souls.
You did not create me to worry.
Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say yes.
You created me to worship.
Oh, yeah. create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Trust in, oh, trust in you, Lord. I will put my